kindle the fire. You know, this morning's lecture kind of laid groundwork for that. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 12, and we ask that word of wisdom from our Father. Luke chapter 12, we're going to pick it up with verse 49, and it reads, I am come, this is Christ speaking, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? In other words, he expects you, God's elect, to kindle it, fan it, you know, spark it. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straited till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to bring give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. This lets you know the time sequence, and that's what I want you to pay attention to tonight, is the time. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. Father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. So, and that's the way it goes when the Antichrist appears. And you have to separate yourself away from the elements of this world. Because the elements of this world, they're not going to cut it. But what is this fire? That's whatever is ever important. If you were to go, we're not going to go there, but if you were to go to Luke chapter 9, verse 54, it would say, you know, they wanted to stop over. They were on their way to Jerusalem. They wanted to stop over in Samaria. It was getting late, and they didn't want them. And one of the disciples said, you want us to do like Elijah and call fire down from heaven and destroy them? And Christ said, you don't know what spirit you're in here. Why? Because they were innocent people. You don't call fire down on innocent people. Simply because they didn't know the Lord. Then he would continue in that 59th verse to say, I have come to save the world. Okay. To those that will listen. And so it is. Now, go with me, if you would, to Revelation. And we're going to go to Revelation chapter 10. And, well, and in Revelation chapter 10, I want you to mark the seventh verse. I want you to listen to it carefully. Pay real close attention. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, you know who the seventh angel is? He sounds the last trump. The seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, I want you to note something, and I don't want you to just take this lightly, but the word begin here is melo in the Greek, and it means about to sound. So what does that say to you? I want you to check that out in your Strong's Concordance. I want you to see it with your own eyes. That it should be translated, when the seventh trump is about to sound. So what does that mean to you? It means you're in the sixth. You're in the sixth trump. And for what reason? So that the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. In other words, that the seven vials would be dumped. A vial, as it is written in the Greek and in the New Testament, Revelation, it's not a little bitty dainty thing. It's a short, wide mouth base. And when it dumps, it goes all at once. No holding back. Turn with me to the 16th chapter of this book of Revelation. And listen carefully. I want you to pay particular attention to time. 16:1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials upon the wrath of God upon the earth. Verse 2, and the first went, this is your first vial, mark it, and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had what? Which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now that's the first wrath. Well, what does that say? Well, it means that the Antichrist is already here. Because these people have already worshipped the image that he sets up in Revelation 13. So, the very first vial goes out partly along in the sixth trump. That's when your work and your obligation comes into being. So this brings this forefront to you to know and to understand. And naturally, that's the exact same thing that happened in Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 through 12. That was the same thing as coming out of Egypt. It's what happened there. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. And it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And of course, waters is the people that were contrary. And that particular plague you'll find in Egypt was in the book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse 20. All these fit. Okay. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the waters and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Again, Exodus chapter 7, verses 19 through 24. Verse 5, and I heard the angel of the waters say, this is the peoples, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, and wast, and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. In other words, God is always fair, honest, and he chooses as it should be chosen. He acts as he should be act, as, because it's always fair. Verse 6, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they're worthy. No, that's what they had coming to them. Verse 7, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. You know something strange? That wasn't what happened coming out of Egypt. That did not happen as one of the plagues against Egypt. This is a new thing. And it happens in the fourth vial. The number four means earth. And it has to do with the very sun itself. It has to do with fire, because what is it going to do? Verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. That didn't happen in the plagues of Egypt. But it's real important to you, extremely important to you in this generation. Let's continue on, and we'll backtrack to it here in a moment. What was it God said he wanted? What did Christ say he wanted done here on earth? Something about kindling a fire? He came to bring a fire? What do you think happens when the sun is smitten? Okay. This is speaking spiritually, and you want to wake up to it, okay? For that fire is there for your advantage. Verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. You can read of that in the second chapter of the great book of Revelation, where they poured the truth out on the seat of Satan, when Antipas was made a martyr. And in the 17th verse it says, you get a new name you can have of the secret manna. What was that? The truth. That truth is there for God's election to absorb, to understand, and to follow. Verse 11, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. People who think they're right, it doesn't matter how often you tell them they're going to be deceived if they worship the false Christ. They're going to do it. Why? Because they're ignorant of that fact. But you're going to hold the line, and you're going to do it. Only God's going to strengthen your arsenal. Verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. This was one of the plagues. It was Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Okay. And it matches. 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, 1, out of the mouth of the beast, 2, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, 3, offices of Satan himself. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth. Which kings? Kings of the earth. And of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see the shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, which is to say the gathering place of the crowd. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Now, we're in the sixth trump here as we started out. We're still in the sixth trump when that fourth vial is poured out on the sun, which was a plague that did not happen in the coming forth out of Egypt, but it shall happen to this generation when we do the repeat, just as it was coming out of Egypt with God Almighty on the throne. Go with me, if you would, to the great book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 5, and it reads, for John, this is Christ teaching after the resurrection, and John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Is that what you're going to do right now? Not at the first advent. That was to come at the second. Okay? 7. And he said unto them, listen carefully, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8. But ye shall, not maybe, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, there's something you must know about this. The word power, where it is listed in verse 7 concerning our Father, is kaiosia. It means a superhuman power. That's what our Father has. When you receive power, the word in the Greek is dunamis, which our word dynamite comes from. It's a lot of power, but it doesn't equate to our Father's. You got it, and so it should be. Right. Now, turn on with me to chapter 2. And let's pick it up with verse 3. What is it they receive with that Spirit from our Father? Verse 3, and there appeared when this came, there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, right from the sun. And it was set upon them, set upon each of them, all of God's 7,000, when they receive that, and when that time comes of that fourth vial, going to be a different day. The arsenal will be loaded. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. There's nothing unknown about this, okay? As the Spirit gave them utterance, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, that's Judeans, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So all dialects, all languages. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Do you know why? Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. That's what that language is coming from the Father. He can do that. And not only that, but it has power, lots of power. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not these which speak Galileans?" These are country boys out here in the country, and they're talking, they're speaking all these languages, and we understand. Of course, it wasn't they that were speaking. It was the Holy Spirit. Just as when you're delivered up before the false Messiah, that same language will come forth. It will not be you speaking, but it will be that Holy Spirit. And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? And so it was that that spirit of fire came upon God's election. If you were to go to the book of Joel, or if we were to continue reading in the second chapter of Acts, then both sons and daughters would speak in this tongue. It was prophesied way back in the book of Joel in chapter 2 that the same thing would happen. That tongue of fire would come upon his children and they would speak. That will not happen until after the false Messiah appears on earth. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein." This rod is not for measuring to build, but for correction. All right? Verse 2, "But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. Every prophecy that has ever been given concerning Satan is in months, which is moons, because he is lunar, lunatic of the night. And it has to do with him. Verse 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." Now this is days, which is solar, which is of light. And it has to do with the two witnesses. What do they have the power to do to the elements? Verse 4, "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Our Father means business. It's closing time. We're coming to that time. The arsenal will be magnified, and it will be very effective to those that come against the throne. Verse 6, "These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as oft as they will." And so it is that they could do this. This is not a new thing with our Father, and you want to get used to it. Go with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 1. Okay. Old Testament. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 1. Old Elijah is having a hard time. The king has just about put a death sentence on his old head. And he's kind of headed for the high country, the bushes. Verse 8 of chapter 1, 2 Kings. And they're inquiring as to who this man was that gave this prophecy. And they answered, "He was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins." And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." It's old Elijah himself. "And then the king sent unto him a captain of 50, with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king said, have said, come down. Verse 10. And Elijah answered, and he said to the captain of 50, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and the 50. The Elijah ministry is a strong ministry. The Father has always loved him. Father would not let anyone bury Elijah. And who was it that appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. Who were those two witnesses? Well, who would be two better? This fire from heaven was not a new thing to Elijah. Okay. Also, and again also, he sent unto him another captain of 50 and his 50, and he answered and said unto him, "O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly." Verse 12, and Elijah answered and said unto them, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Don't ever think your father is not able to protect his own. That's why you never want to be afraid of anything when you use common sense. Your father's, and he's still on the throne. I don't care what politics do or anyone else. He still occupies that seat. And he still controls that fire. All he has to do is speak. Verse 13. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 and his 50, and the third captain of 50 went up. He's heard about this. He came up and he fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, "O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains and the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight." That's repentance, okay? And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, "Go down with him, be not afraid of him." And he arose and went down with him unto the king. God always takes care of his own. And he protected Elijah through all of that. Turn with me, if you would, to the last chapter in the Old Testament. It's called Malachi. And go to chapter 4, which is that last chapter. And let's read a little bit about what happens here. Malachi chapter 4, having to do with the end times. Verse 1 of chapter 4, the very last chapter in the Old Testament. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." There's a day coming, there's not going to be any more evil. There will be no evil elements or rudiments in this world. Not even a root left for them. Why? Because we're going into the millennium where some will be tested and then those that can't cut it, they're out of here. We don't want them anymore. They're gone. Okay. Listen very carefully. "But unto you that fear my name, you love me, shall the Son," S-U-N, "the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." To go forth means to be set free. Boy, calves romp and run, and they have a ball when they're let out of the barn for the first time after a winter, a hard winter. That's what he's saying. You're going to be happy. Why is the Son, S-U-N, instead of S-O-N, utilized here? Because of the fourth plague. Because this is the Son we're talking about. Let me ask you a question. Who's the light giver? Who is the light giver? We have only one. It's Christ. He is our light. And he never forsakes us. He never lets us down. Now, if you think we're talking here about the fire that the flesh body is quite worried about, you're thinking about a different kind of fire. Our Father is a consuming fire. Do you know something? Our Father can speak and something becomes nothing. All he's got to do is speak. or he can speak, and nothing can become something, because he has that ability. He is a consuming fire. And do you know who fights our battles for us mostly in this spiritual war? He does. And he's quite capable of taking care of you and at the same time sharing that power with you, that you have the ability through the Holy Spirit that when you speak, it can't be dealt with. It parts the waters, which are the people, good from the bad. And it shall be. Let's continue on. Verse 3, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's the way it is. They're not going to be anymore. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so it is that our Father utilizes... This is why Elijah appeared with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. But we have that power and that ability that nothing can interfere, even drums of war. Our Father has that ability, and he's going to share that fire with you. That's why that fourth vial, which is the smiting of the sun that scorches men. Now let me cut you in on a real deep secret here. Did it not say in the 11th chapter that the mystery would be known before the seventh trump as to how he would share this? How that he would go, you can figure kind of time with this, because from the first vial right up to the last, you're dealing with the closing of the sixth trump and coming right up to the seventh. So you can kind of fix where we are in a sense, or how long it will be that power will be here on earth by figuring and understanding. All you are is a watchman. Just watch. Don't set a whole new plan and flight plan and end up in the wrong part of the country. Stay with the Word of God. Probably in closing, I would turn you to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. And I'm going to pick it up, if I may, with verse 5. When you get turned there, verse 5 of chapter 11. 4, we're going to go. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with what? With the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That is the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, that this is speaking of our Lord and Savior at the final battle. He doesn't take prisoners. Okay. If somebody doesn't volunteer, they're out. Okay. Verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. He's always fair. And faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. This is in the millennium now. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. It will happen. That's peace, okay? And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. There won't be any carnivores there. All spiritual bodies. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the crocodile tries then. The snake can't hurt him. Okay. Why? Because it's in the spiritual body. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Do you know why? Because you're going to put it there. Okay. You're going to speak. That fire is going to burn truth into some minds. and Father will back you up on it, and that is the true Holy Spirit as it comes at that fourth vial when the Son of Righteousness strikes. And that power, dunamis, comes into this world. And we're approaching that time. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, that be Christ. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again, the second time, not the first advent, this is the second one. The second advent, time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, that's where they went in, and from Egypt, and from Paphos, and from Cush, from Elam, and from Shinar, that's Babylon, and from Hamath, that's where the Kenites are, and from the isles of the sea, that's all over. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim, that's the 10 northern tribes, shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off, period. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together. We win, okay? They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. Listen carefully. In closing, listen real carefully. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind, that's the breath spoken of in verse 4, shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it into seven streams. That's for 7,000 of God's elect into seven venues, and make men go over dry shod. Why? Because of your work. Because of God's work. Some of you have known you had a destiny when you were a child more than you'd been taught. And God brings forth his truth in this end generation for his children to stand, to know, and to love, and to love our brethren, whereby we lead, guide, and direct. Verse 16, listen carefully. This concludes. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And so it is. It's exactly the same. You don't have anything to worry about. And Father, when that sun is struck with that fourth vial, then it is for your benefit that that spirit increases. Anytime, you know, but there's one thing I must caution you. I want you to really make a home study of all this. This thing that I caution you about is the truth was being poured out on those that were deceived long before the sun was smitten. That means you're going to cut it regardless, okay? You're going to begin. As a matter of fact, we already are. Look around you. Okay? Look around you. We already are. We're making a difference. God's word is true. He gives us strength and he gives us power to take that truth to our brethren that are desperately in need of that knowledge and that wisdom and that fire. I come not to bring peace, but I send fire, and how happy I will be if I find it already kindled. Fan it. I mean, puff at it. Keep that fire going. Keep it kindled. Plant those seeds. And our Heavenly Father will always bless you. The Holy Spirit, when it comes into you, is that fire that the enemy must fall away from. It parts them. It divides them. And it is a very simple thing. You know, he told us in Luke chapter 21 that what you say at that time, even the gainsayers will be convinced by it. Do you know why they are convinced by it? Because it's the true word of God. That's why. That is the mystery of God's conclusion. as he brings forth the vials that complete and consummate the sixth, the very sixth trump, and brings in the seventh, whereby we can say at that time, it is done. And I tell you, it is done.